Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. And how about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the upcoming holidays of Palm Sunday, Passover, and Good Friday. Listen as we explain the importance of religion for the betterment of humanity. Just because the institutions that have taken over religions are failing doesn't negate the necessity of union with the divine. Swami will explain how relinking with spirit becomes a practical guide for highly effective living. Spirituality isn't magic, it's physics. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the benefits of apotheosis. So Swami, what I would like to do maybe is just talk about the first holiday, religious holiday that's coming up, would be Palm Sunday. And I got this information from Wynn Calendar. And Wynn Calendar states that Palm Sunday commemorates Jesus Christ's last triumphant entry into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. According to the Gospels, as Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, the crowds greeted him by waving and laying palm branches in his path. Today, palms are still used during Palm Sunday ceremonies. The palms are blessed during the ceremony and then collected and burned into ash for the following year's Ash Wednesday celebration. So Palm Sunday is celebrated annually on the Sunday before Easter. So Swami, give us your take about Palm Sunday.
Yeah, the whole thing of preparing the way for the Lord or the Messiah. I really like the way the Essenes used to present that whole thing, that preparing the way for the Lord was a period of purification. And I think the thing that symbolically, what they did was they covered the road with palm, which is kind of a way of preparing the way for this Messiah. Today, I think probably a more accurate way to do that or interpret that would be the thing, how we're creating a hospitable inner environment for the invocation of spirit into our physical bodies. And that's where I think in Kriya Yoga we use our second stage, Niyama, Saucha, purification. So I think that Palm Sunday is more of a preparatory stage in what is coming, which is Good Friday and then followed by Easter.
Well, I have a quote here by Pope Benedict the 16th. That he said back in April 2011 on a Palm Sunday service. And he says, "Our procession today is meant, then, to be an image of something deeper, to reflect the fact that, together with Jesus, we are setting out on a pilgrimage along the high road that leads to the living God. This is the ascent that matters. This is the journey which Jesus invites us to make." So I have a question to ask you about that, and one of them is, what does he mean by the living God? And is he also talking about what you were saying, that road to the Messiah?
Yeah, this is where things get a little confusing. It's even though the words may actually be the same, the actual instruction seems to be very different. And I think that's one of the reasons why my take on religion is that it's missing the point. And a lot of times we're substituting this intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality, because the idea here is that we do want to join with this living God. We do want to join with the divine. And that's a real experience. But it really does require us to purify our physical bodies. And the thing I like about the Essenes is that a big part of their approach to spirituality required purification.
So is your take on the phrase living God to mean this universal energy that's around us? In other words, it's this living energy that we should connect to?
Well, to answer your question, yeah, it's the force right now that is supporting your life. And to me, that's what makes religion real. And what most people are trying to do is just have some sort of belief that that exists. And in this model, we just break it down to your number one need so that there isn't any dispute. There isn't any debate about it. There's nothing to believe in. It's if you don't think that it's the life force, then at least you're going to refer yourself to breath, which is your number two life-sustaining force. And by doing that, you're changing your thoughts. And that's really what it all comes down to, that thought is our number one life-sustaining force. And our number two life-sustaining force would be breathing. And so there's a direct relationship in Kriya Yoga between life-sustaining force number one and life-sustaining force number two. And that becomes a bridge. Because your number one life-sustaining force, this living God, is invisible and intangible. So you do need a certain degree of faith that it's there. But it is provable, you know, and by referring to life-sustaining force number two, it gives it a lot more tangibility. Plus, the pilgrimage back to the divine, the whole thing of, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit more, is this thing of rebirthing our bodies in the life force, that it's not just an intellectual accomplishment. It's not just an academic achievement, but it is literally something that requires us to do. And once you start to recognize that, first of all, that we have a number one need, that we do have needs, that we're all codependent, and that what we're trying to do here with religion is to separate from our dependency upon a resource that is limiting and join with a resource that is expanding and growing and whole.
So I assume that the word pilgrimage that the Pope is talking about as being maybe not instruction to do something, but to say that it has to be a journey to get to be in that place where you can exist with the higher God. So maybe it is a process and a procedure.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Though the whole process of rebirthing of an individual into the divine has really been represented by the hero's journey. I think that was always a really nice myth or metaphor for what it is that we're trying to do. And typically, it is always presented in three phases. You had the separation, the journey itself, and the return. And that kind of gives you the template for a myth. And a lot of these religious holidays will have that in place.
Well, that's interesting because my next topic that I want to talk to you about is Passover. And so let me read what I found on WinCalendar. And it says that Passover is a 7-day Jewish festival which celebrates Israelites fleeing from Egypt about 3,300 years ago. Passover is called such because the Israelites marked their door frames with a sign. It is believed because of this sign, God passed over their houses during the plague of the firstborn. Now, one of my favorite movies is that movie, The Ten Commandments, and I distinctly remember that scene in the movie where that actually happens. So what is your take about Passover, and how can we look at that in the Kriya Yoga style?
Well, again, Passover marked the beginning of the Exodus from exile in Egypt. So here's your separation myth. This is where the whole concept of the parting of the Red Sea, the separation. And I think the problem is that we think it's something that happened 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago or whatever, and it becomes a story instead of a myth, instead of a way of symbolically explaining to us what it is that we need to do in order for us to make this connection to this living God, to this tree of life, to this life force.
So what is the myth about passing over the firstborn, the first child?
Well, the child, the firstborn, or even say, for example, I think at this time there's sibling or something.
National Siblings Day.
Yeah, interesting thing, because the child is considered to be a Mercury image. And Mercury is the conscious mind. And so in the process and development, the mind really becomes the medium between matter, mind, and spirit. That in Kriya Yoga, what we have to do is we have to take the mind out of the body, format it with the right information, and then bring it back into the body with the right information. So you're training your mind to look for this living God, for this life force, for your number one need, and then bringing that back into the body. So the use of the mind, the conscious mind, in this process, typically marked by this type of symbolism.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense when you break it down like that. So when we are to celebrate Siblings Day that's coming up, how should we do that with our siblings? Is there anything that you recommend that we say or how we greet our siblings on National Siblings Day?
Well, I think the whole thing is that we really want to look at what surrounds us is within us. And a lot of times we can look at family members and things of that nature and get a better understanding of what it is that we believe about ourselves that would attract this into our lives, because it's all part of a karmic pattern that we have. And that becomes something that in Kriya Yoga we're constantly trying to upgrade and reformat and keep step with what it is that we want in our lives.
All right, we're going to hold that thought right there and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back in a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. So welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we've already talked a little bit about Palm Sunday and Passover, but we also have another one that's coming up, and that is Good Friday. So what can we learn about Good Friday, and how does that relate to Kriya Yoga?
Yeah, Good Friday is pretty significant in that it marks the crucifixion of the body. That's a really important myth, that this whole thing of coming back to what we were saying, rebirthing, that there's an enormous change that has to take place in order for us to go from what was commonly referred to as sons of men and then become sons of God. That there was this rebirthing that has to take place. And in order for this to take place, there is this crucifixion of the body, which is a departure from instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. It requires this separation from what is safe, familiar, comfortable, and known. And the embarking on the anxiety, the uncertainty of the unknown. And even say, for example, I kind of like in Matthew 18:1-4 in the Bible, Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them. And then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So for me, I think the biggest thing there is where he says, unless you change. Because a lot of times, when I have always been exposed to interpretations of this type of scripture, the point of comparison becomes like little children, has more to do with a child's trusting spirit or a child's willingness to be dependent and, receive help from others, that type of thing. And for me, it's very different, because I really think what he's talking about is kind of like the experience we had with our first birth, that we were in an environment where everything was provided for us, and you're in the dark, and all of a sudden you're catapulted out of this utopian environment, and now you, first of all, are thrown into the light, you're forced to breathe air on your own. It's traumatic, because it's such a change. And to me, that's what Jesus is talking about. Unless you change. Because when we go from being a human that is using particles or waves for validation to a human that is now going to use this invisible, intangible resource, that we kind of go through a very similar
trauma that we did with our first birth. And then, of course, when you come out on the other side of that, you're like a child, because this is unfamiliar territory. This is unknown to me. And to me, that is what they were talking about in the Bible. Not to become like a child that you were when you were born in this body.
Because I have heard that same passage before and have also been exposed to different interpretations. And it seems like most people's interpretation of being childlike is to learn to live life without having any worries. You know, being able to have a childlike quality, you know, trying to find that joy and the wonderment of everything that we are surrounded by.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what I was saying. That's how most of us, I think, interpret that. But what they're not looking at is unless you change. And to me, that change is the most important thing, because we have to change our source of sustenance. We actually have to change. There has to be a departure from the pattern that our bodies come in with. That's the separation. And to me, that's what the crucifixion of the body. Because the body doesn't go into this willingly. The body does not want to give up the jurisdiction of your sense of self. The body has all of the power, but it's all about preservation and survival. And for the most part, if we do not separate from that pattern and we shrink back in fear, then we don't grow psychologically and spiritually. We remain in an underdeveloped state. And there is retribution. There are ramifications that come with this. There's this kickback from this unlived latent potential that I want to be whole. I want to be complete. But then, of course, we find that surviving or growing, neither one is really easy.
Well, right, and we have talked about that several times in other shows, and just like this passage, this kind of reminds me of other things that we have talked about too, where there has to be a belief in that we can make this change. Like, it's not going to just happen to us. There is, like you would say, it's, I think, some preparatory work, but let's talk about the belief factor that is also, I think, almost necessary to be able to make this change.
Yeah, and that has to be the cause of belief, but not belief without proof, but a certain trust without reservation. That's very different than this concept of believing in God, believing that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. That, to me, is just, it's just a statement that you defend. It's not a practical guide for highly effective living. See, when you rebirth your body in the life force, and you have the benefit of this internal connection, because you feel connected to something that's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, but it's giving you confidence, calmness, clarity. That, to me, is useful. If I have a belief in some astral image that I'm using to give me some sort of sense of security, it's a very different dynamic. And that's what we said last week, that there is a big difference between beliefs that are developed from a God-based reality system as opposed to a reality system that is established in particles or waves, duality, fear and limitation, with a belief in God. Can you see the difference?
Right. So I think you're saying is that if I look at a picture or a painting of Jesus, I'm operating at a different frequency, a different level. I'm operating from still fear and limitation.
Well, obviously, you're drawing from a different energy field. You're drawing from something that is visible and tangible. And then, of course, it's drawing you towards the part that's invisible but tangible, which is the thought or the astral image, the internalized image of this celestial being, which is equally as dualistic. And it's not a question of good or bad or right or wrong. It's not like God doesn't want us to have it some other way. That's the physics of spirituality. There's only one God. There's only one truth. There's only one religion. There's only one yoga. There's only one number one need. And everything points to this. But when you go into these communities, you start to see the term that we use in yoga is called avidya, ignorance. You're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. The term in the Bible is called false gods, that we're actually drawing from the wrong energy field. And the other term that they used was the term called sin. Sin was missing the mark.
So now, in the summary, when we began the show, we said that you were going to explain how relinking with spirit becomes a practical guide for highly effective living. Sounds to me like you were just kind of giving us that instruction that we do need to relink with spirit. I think we have talked about this before, about that there is a procedure and a process.
Yeah, and there's also benefit that comes with it. I mean, just think about it. If every time you take a breath, it reinforces a feeling in your body that you're happy, you're special, that you're good enough, look at what you just did for yourself. Because how many breaths do you take in the course of a day? And yet most of us have this very precious resource readily available to us, but we're looking for something else. And it's in that searching for something else that we create this discord, that there's this restlessness, that there's this chronic anxiety that is going on, that is constantly reinforcing the feeling that I'm not good enough. So when you do rebirth your body in the life force, and you change the reward circuits in your brain, and you change the neurological pathways in your body, and you feel connected to this living God, your life becomes magical.
So I think some people would want to know, well, what's my first step in doing that?
Well, obviously, I would say give us a call.
You
603-929-0303, because for the most part, I really don't see anywhere that I could really trust in referring you to it. That if you're really looking to make this internal connection, that we have the goods.
That's great. Well, I think it's almost about that time we have to start closing down our show today. So, listeners, I invite you out there to visit our website. That's www.ipdtransform.com. So, of course, once you're there, you can post comments or questions about today's show or any other shows and give us ideas for future shows you would like us to do. But do keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. There are a couple of things going on next week we'll talk about. It's Easter, and then, of course, it's Earth Day, too, as well, that we'll talk about. So, Swami, any final thoughts about our program today?
Well, I would like to caution people not to make the same mistakes that our organized religions have made and fall into intellectualism and get all caught up in the biblical stories and miss the point of the instruction, because a ritual is only as good as the results. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.